moment.
Now, both of these passages
chapter 7
deal with the same topic. It's been a few weeks in chapter 7.
That in the first
we focus
century
upon prayer,
that
today
slavery
the passage
was takes a little bit
a common
of
thing.
It may seem like a deviation.
Some of them
from
had sold
prayer,
themselves
still
into
the
slavery to others to
teaching, so
pay
off
a debt.
Chapter 7.
Now, others had been enslaved
again
for
in
other
reasons.
17 reading
but
in a moment.
Slavery was common.
And
one of the things
that
we
have
in mind
as we
about
in
Scripture begin
looking
that has been
puzzled
passage,
about by many people.
We're looking
is,
at what is
well,
taking
speaks
place
about
in the
slavery,
lives
speaks
of
about the slavery
these people,
that was taking
those
place
in Corinth, and the same day
takes place in the lives
we
of
don't see
any of us, all of
what
us,
we might
when
expect,
we
knowing
that enslavement,
really,
it is against
course,
God's
I'm not
will,
talking about just growing up in a Christian
family
or
another,
or when we begin
human
attending
being.
Church,
so
but
we
when
ask
we
the
truly
question, why
believe
is it not condemned
and follow Christ
in the way that we might
something
expect.
That happens, whether it's
and
over a period
of
time
today,
that it takes place or in a moment in time,
in
either way, we begin to see the world
circumstances
in a different way.
And it's
like
addressed
a different
in these
set of
two
glasses
passages.
On.
So beginning,
we begin to have
Colossians
new priorities.
3,
it affects
22.
How we,
if you're able
we
to stand
the
relationships
would,
in our lives,
stand
maybe some of the social situations in our lives,
and, we'll,
and at the heart of it are some of our desires inside that
slaves
begin to be
obey
changed,
in everything.
Some which
those
are changed
who
right
are
away,
earthly
others,
masters,
not
they
by way of
change
eye
more and more
as we
people pleasers,
draw closer and closer
with
to God,
sincerity of
an understanding of
fearing
God's will
the
and
Lord.
His word.
Whatever
and
you do,
yet,
work heartily
when that happens
for the Lord,
and
there's
not
a, there's a
for
problem
men,
that occurs, and
that
is that our life situations
that
and our relationships
you will receive
that we are
inheritance
a part of,
as your reward.
They don't change.
You are serving
just
the
remain
Lord Christ
the same, and so
the wrongdoer
we're left
will be
with
paid
this
back
question,
for the wrong
if
he has
we
done,
change
and there
in
is
such
no
a fundamental
partiality.
Way, but everything else, our,
so
our
notice,
you know, jobs, our social circles, our family,
the right
all of
part,
those remain the same,
1 Peter chapter 2.
Then what are we to do
near the end?
Are we to look for areas in which change can occur, and are we to seek that change? What specific changes should we make in our lives at this point?
So this is
point,
a,
you know,
a
Paul
similar passage.
Often describes
now,
this
at the end of this passage, and we're not
going
to read that.
He speaks about
whole
the old man,
part,
and then he speaks about the new man.
He goes into
the
Peter
level
goes
of
into
identity.
Using Christ as the
so
example
this is significant.
Of this.
So it's
but
an
again,
important
this
passage
question
is not
what
we change
expect
our circumstances
to find when
we
come
able.
To the topic of slavery.
Maybe that's something
we'll
that you have
this
struggled
with
later.
So 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll begin
the
in
very
verse
question
13.
That these believers in Corinth
be subject
were
for the Lord's sake
with.
To every human
and they
institution.
Asked him questions related
whether
to
it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors
and
as sent by him to punish those who do evil
Corinth,
and praise
just
those
like
who
everyone
do good.
Else.
For this is the will of God, that by doing good,
the city was like,
you should
the region
put
was
to
like,
silence the ignorance
and
of foolish people.
And all of a sudden,
live
Paul
as people who are free.
Came, he
not
he
using your freedom
presented
to cover
and proclaim
evil,
the gospel
but living
to them,
as servants of
and
God. Honor
of
everyone.
Changed,
love the brotherhood. Fear
significantly.
God.
They were
honor
new men.
The
they
emperor.
Were new women.
Verse 18,
and they
servants, be subject
that
to your masters
time,
with
that
all
because
respect.
They had changed
not only to the good and
their
gentle,
life situations,
but also
needed
to, the
to also
change.
So
this is a gracious
you know,
thing.
This in
when mindful of God, one endures
they had to
sorrows
get off of
while suffering
Facebook.
Unjustly.
They had to
create
what
new
credit
circles
is it
of friends,
when you sin
change
and
the,
are beaten
the
for
relationships
it.
They had
you
with
endure.
Neighbors, maybe.
But if,
even
when you do good
jobs,
and suffer for it,
and the big
you
one
endure,
that they've been struggling
this is
with
a gracious
in this chapter
thing in the
is
sight of
marriage
God.
And relations
notice
within
last
marriage.
When
you're suffering unjustly,
so
immediately,
past couple of weeks we've
been looking at those,
if we're suffering unjustly,
we've been looking at
want
to remove
answer
ourselves
in his
from
instruction
that unjust suffering,
to them
right?
out of this.
But in this case,
and
no,
his
he
answer
says,
to them
endure,
was not at all what we
forward.
See that they would have been
of course,
expecting.
We didn't read the example of Christ.
His basic
what Christ
instruction
did.
Was
he endured the most
remain as you
unjust of suffering.
And really,
he
that's
is our
the principle
for us.
That underlies all of chapter 7.
And in
how
today's
we are
passage,
to live our lives,
Paul's just going
to
take that and he's
going to
expand upon
him.
That. His message has been related to marriage because that's what their questions were related to. But here he's going to say, well, this is a bigger principle. This is really part of God's design for the whole Christian life. And he uses examples outside of marriage in order to explain it. And we need to recognize that this is important, that it
gives us a right understanding of the life circumstances in which we often find ourselves, and it helps to inform us how we are to live our lives in and through them. And so as we begin to read in verse 17 of chapter 7, notice that this follows directly from what Paul had been saying just before that. We dealt with it last week. He had been dealing with circumstances in which a believer was married to an unbeliever, and then the believer came to faith in Christ. And of course, all kinds of issues began to raise their heads. And his instruction to them was, if you were here last week and you recall, it was, if they are willing to remain married to you, then remain as you are. Continue to live out your Christian life within this marriage. But, he said, if they separate from you, then in verse 15 he had said, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. Okay, so have that in mind. That's where we're picking up as we go to verse 17 this morning. I want to invite you to stand. And I'll read verses 17 through 24. This is God's word. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the recognition that this is what we need to hear and need to understand this morning. We also recognize that apart from your working it within us, that we are unable to understand this and apply it to our lives in such a way that we will follow you more nearly. And so we pray that you would do that work. Open our ears, open our eyes, help us to see this. There are some difficult aspects here. So we pray for your help in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, back when I was in the Navy, and I know we got a couple of folks here who have been in the Navy, and this will be familiar to you. There was a process, which still exists today, which most of those who served in the Navy were very familiar with, and I'm pretty sure it's the same in all the other services as well. And it was the process by which you would receive your next duty station, where you were going to be living, how you were going to be serving, and it works something like this. You would usually serve in a particular billet or job for a period of time, for about 3 years or so, and then you would rotate, it was called, to another duty station or to another billet. Maybe it was at the same location, or it could be on other parts of the world, but that change would take place. And so as you got closer and closer to the end of your current tour, you would talk to a person who was usually in Washington, D.C., a person who was very important to many of the people. He was called a detailer, and he was important because he would determine or help to determine what the next 3 years of your life were going to be like. Was it going to be an assignment that you enjoyed, an assignment in which you began to move forward with your goals, one in which you liked the location, your family was able to fit in well there, or was it going to be something else altogether? So this was very important to you, and the way it worked. You'd share, well, he would share with you some of what's available to you, what the positions are and locations are available. You would share with him what your desires are, and maybe in particular a position that you knew about, and you try to work that out together, or some of your preferences. And then sometimes you would find out ahead of time what you'd be doing and where, but other times you'd wait and you'd receive your orders and you'd find out where you were going to be, what you were going to be doing for the next 3 years, and that of your family as well. And the joke was often that the orders that you received didn't bear much resemblance to the desires that you had given. Now, that wasn't always the case, but it was often the case. And most often, you didn't have a lot of leeway in changing things. And the reason for that was that, really, get down to it, the Navy owned you. It usually wasn't like other jobs in which if you didn't like the spot, you didn't like the position, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to find another company. No, the Navy had positions that needed to be filled. They had jobs that needed to be done. And so it was often the needs of the Navy that drove where you would be. And often because you owed time in your service, then you'd need to accept positions or situations or locations that would not have been what you would have otherwise chosen. And it could be a very difficult situation. You'd respond in certain ways to receiving certain orders. Now, Paul is dealing here with a truth that is something that's very similar that happens when we come to faith in Christ. And that is that we don't just choose the life situation. We don't just choose the family that we're part of, the relationships that we're in when God calls us to himself. And so we find ourselves often in situations that can be very difficult, that can be frustrating, that can involve a lot of questioning. And usually, what do? We usually seek to change whatever we can, maybe under the pretext that we're doing what God would desire of us. And that's what the believers here in Corinth were doing. They were saying, we can't continue in these circumstances to serve the Lord in the way that we need to, and so we're going to need to change certain things. And we look at what did Paul have to say, and it's not exactly what you might expect. He says, well, especially in circumstances in which you have control to change over changing certain circumstances. But his answer to them was, stay as you are. And it's clear as we go through this passage that Paul's not just saying, just endure. Just put up with it. Just suffer. Just endure. And if you go back to my example with the Navy, that's often how someone might respond to orders that they didn't like. Now, first, they would probably try to make a change in the orders. And sometimes it was possible to do that, but very often it wasn't possible to make a change. And so at that point, often, I knew a number of people who did this. I'd say, well, how long is 3 years anyway? And they would make a determination. They're going to endure during that time and sometimes have a sour attitude for the next 3 years. But for the person who is in Christ, there's a completely different set of dynamics that are at work. And so Paul calls for a completely different response. Now, you might say it this way as we look at his response, that he calls for you to bloom where you're planted, to live out the Christian life with contentment in whatever situation that you find yourself in. I think immediately when we hear those words, if we apply them to real circumstances in our lives, we might say, well, how in the world are we supposed to do that? So Paul lays out a couple of things in this passage to provide us with an understanding and to cause us to look to the Lord and to trust in him. And those things are these. I'm just going to point out two. First of all, our calling is to where we are. And secondly, he says that our circumstances themselves, even though this flies against what we normally believe to be true, but our circumstances themselves are unimportant. So our calling is to where we are. Our circumstances themselves are unimportant. So look at the first one. Our calling is to where we are. You and I have been called to follow Jesus Christ in the particular circumstances, in the particular relationships, in the situations in which we find ourselves. It's something, and this is really the key, it's something that God is sovereign over. When He calls a person to Himself, and that's the language that we use because it's biblical, it is a calling. When He calls a person to Himself, He always equips that person to live out the Christian life in their particular set of circumstances, whatever they are. Now, does that mean that we can't ever, as we go through this passage, that we can't ever change the circumstances? And the answer to that is no. That's not what Paul is saying, and we'll get to that more in a minute. But he is saying that our calling is to where we are. Now, the word call, first of all, is important in what Paul is saying here. It's used 8 times just in these 8 verses, and it's only used 3 times in the rest of the entire book. And so he's emphasizing this call, and it's being used, as Paul usually uses it, to refer to a new life in Christ, that a person has been called to fellowship together with God's Son. There's been a call placed on their heart. They have responded to that call. We could call it conversion. We could call it a number of things. That's what he's talking about here, but it's also clearly referring to the situation in which God has called them, the circumstances. A calling is a calling to Christ in the life in which God plants the person. And so 3 times in this passage, he won't let us miss this, I don't think. Sometimes we can easily miss his point, but he repeats the exact same statement 3 times. Look with me, first of all, at verse 17. He says, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him." Now, go down to verse 20. "Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called." And look right at the end of the passage, verse 24, he summarizes. He says, "So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God." You know, Paul is really making a strong statement here of God's sovereignty and how it extends over every circumstance of our lives. And so he's telling these believers that there is a condition or a set of circumstances that you came into when you were called. You were there and you were called into that, and it's in that situation to which God has called you. It's not as if God was caught off guard and he said, "Well, now that you're here, there are a number of changes that need to be made. In fact, in verse 17, Paul even says that the Lord gives this particular set of circumstances as an assignment. Now think about the assignment I talked about with respect to the Navy. Similarly here, and sadly, the call to Christ can become a source of frustration within our lives and difficulty. Because after a time, we can become discontent with our current life situation. Now, it could be something like we're dealing with the sinful actions of those around us, those whom we're in relationship with, and we recognize them now, whereas we didn't before, and they bother us now. It could be their lack of respect for the Lord, or their failure to honor Him. You know, one place this often happens is in the workplace. You might say, "I don't need to hear that kind of language on a regular basis. You know, I need to go where I'm surrounded by people who have the same mind and the same heart as I do." It may be a Christian workplace or one with many who look to Christ. That's what God would want for me. Or maybe again in the workplace, maybe you experience, and many have experienced this, injustice or persecution of some type. Maybe you should have gotten a certain pay raise, but you don't get it, and you know that you don't get it because of your Christian faith. And so there is frustration there, and it often drives you to desire change. But Paul here says, God has called you to where you are. He knows about all the circumstances of your life. He's the one who placed you in them so that it can be said, it's an assignment. Look at verse 17 again. Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him. And not only assigned, but for which the Lord has uniquely equipped him. The Lord never calls us to anything without equipping us. That doesn't mean that we always feel that we are equipped. You know, for many of the things that God calls us to and the situations he puts us in our lives, we do not feel equipped. And we may say, that's not for me. But again, God has called you to where you are. Now, what are we prone to do in these situations? Just like those in the Navy that I talked about, we're prone to look for a way out. And if there is no way out, we can easily take on an attitude of bitterness. Failing to rest in God's sovereignty over our situation, to know that he provides, that he is providing, to trust in him, and to know that he has called us and planted us in this place to be his instruments in the lives of others. You know, the voice of the martyrs says that the number one prayer request that they receive from those who are in places in which they experience daily persecution, severe persecution, threats to their lives, the number one prayer request that they receive is for strength in and through the persecution. And secondly, it is prayer for those who are persecuting them. And significantly, one prayer that's often missing altogether is that they would be removed from persecution. They know that God has called them to where they are, and they are content, even though they may be going through great difficulty, and they often have a great certainty that God is faithful to provide for them in those circumstances in which they are and in which they've been called to. You know, you and I have been called to have that same confidence, that same trust in the Lord and in his plan, in the places and in the circumstances in which we are planted. Secondly, Paul says in this passage, and he says it through a couple of examples, he says, our circumstances themselves are unimportant. Now, it's here that we see that although we should remain in the situation to which we are called, that's what Paul is saying here, that he's not saying that this is some sort of rule that we must remain. In fact, Paul's main point here, we'll see as we go through, is that the particular circumstances or social standing or condition of life in which we are in, that really that's unimportant, even though we often place a very high level of importance on it. Now, there are reasons for changing our circumstances, and we'll often recognize those as, you know, he's calling us to make a change in this case. But to desire a change just in order to become maybe more spiritual, or to think that's what he desires, or because we are discontent, this is really to remove ourselves from what God intends. The reason is because we are no longer our own. He says right at the end of this, you were bought with a price. And so Paul brings this out through the use of two examples. And each of these examples show the impact of this call of Christ upon the lives of people living within certain circumstances. Circumstances that in these examples that would have been familiar to those in Corinth. And the first one involved the circumstance of having the mark of circumcision. Now, traditionally, we can see this very clearly, this had tremendous meaning, especially to the Jews, but it came to have meaning to the Gentiles as well. If you had that mark, it was viewed as meaning that you were a Jew and that you had been accepted by God and that you were a part of His covenant of promise. Now, if you didn't have that mark, it meant that you were a Gentile, that you were on the outside of the covenant of God. So one meant inclusion in God's people. The other meant exclusion on the outside. All of that changes, Paul says, for the person who belongs to Christ. Look with me at verses 18 and 19. He says, "Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision." Those are key words. Let him seek and let him not seek circumcision. "For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God." Now that last statement is and would have been to them an amazing statement. Because before, having this mark of circumcision or not having it, it was tremendously important. Like I said, if you had it, it meant that you belonged to the Lord. If you didn't, you were on the outside. But he's saying that the gospel changes all of that, that it destroys that distinction. So that whether your circumstance was that you were a Jew or a Gentile, it didn't matter at all. It's only true obedience that matters, because that was evidence of a true relationship with Christ. So Paul is telling them that whatever circumstance that they are in, it's superseded by their relationship with Christ. And he first says that using this religious example. And in a moment he'll move to another one. But his point here is that they shouldn't desire a change, because the reason for that change has been removed. Okay, the second example, maybe one that we can identify with a little bit more. But Paul speaks about slavery. And he says that neither being a slave nor being free ultimately counts for anything for the person who is in Christ. Something that we saw earlier in those other two passages that we read, although they weren't explained at the time. We'll look at it further here. Look at with me at verse 21. Paul says, "Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it." In other words, don't be distressed about it. Don't change your situation. That's a hard thing to say to someone who is under the yoke of slavery. But notice that he gives an exception here. He says, but if you can change your freedom, okay, avail yourself of the opportunity. He's not saying that it's change itself that's bad. If you got the opportunity, especially in this situation, go ahead and avail yourself of the opportunity. But he's saying that's not the top priority. There should be contentment within your situation, because this is what God has called you to. It's your relationship with Christ. That's what counts. That's what supersedes everything else. And then look at verse 22. He says, "For he who was called in the Lord as a slave is a freedman of the Lord." Even if you're in the most difficult of circumstances, you're a slave. And in that day, a slave could mean that you sold yourself to someone, pay off a debt. There are times when it meant that you were under the thumb of someone and you were mistreated. But if you're a slave, no matter what you're going through, what really matters, what supersedes everything else, including your present circumstances, is that you've been made free in Christ. But notice here that he doesn't just address the slave. He also addresses the free person. He then says, "Likewise, he who was free when called is a slave of Christ." He's addressing both sides. He did this back with circumcision as well. Again, he's saying that what's important is not the circumcision, not the circumstances that you're in. Whether you're free or whether you're a slave, either one, that's not what's important. For both the slave and the freedman, the one who has been freed, he's saying that before you were under the yoke of slavery, you were enslaved to your sin. And we see that in verse 23, what he says, you were bought with a price. You were enslaved to your sin, but now Christ has set you free. There's no sin. There's no guilt that remains. And this is a view into how the gospel should shape our view and our understanding, so that even when your present circumstances are difficult circumstances, are difficult to live with day in and day out, or if they're not, he's reducing the importance of the circumstances. But he's saying that God can sovereignly work through your circumstances no matter what you find yourself in. You know, one of the new books I'm going to be placing on the book table, it's not back there yet, but it is a book about practicing gospel-based hospitality. It's a new book that just recently came out. It's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And in it, the author, Rosaria Butterfield, tells a story about how she and her family were looking for and praying about, maybe you've done this as well, there was a neighbor across the street whom they had known well, they had been very close to, but she had left to go somewhere, and so they were praying about who the person would be that would move in, or people would be that would move into that house. And even though they were looking for someone somewhat like the woman who had moved out, that was not to be the case. Instead, they got Hank. And Hank was a recluse. He, even when they reached out to him and tried to spend time with him, and he was rude to them. And so the temptation was that they would just leave him to himself. Because it might have seemed clear at that point that this was not to be. They were not to try to get to know him, because he made it clear that they weren't. I remember the question, and often the struggle, and that is God sovereign over all of our circumstances, even the ones that are unpleasant? And so they continued to befriend Hank, and eventually they gained his acceptance. He lost his dog, his only companion, and they helped to find his dog. But then all of a sudden, after they got to know him some, the circumstances got far more difficult, and Hank was arrested. There were officers that came from ATF, and they arrested Hank. They put him in jail for a long time because he had been operating a meth lab out of this house right across the street from them. At that point, again, they had this struggle, this decision that they had to make. But they continued to meet with him, even though those, and they knew many of the folks in their neighborhood, thought they were crazy, but they continued trusting God with their circumstances, not knowing exactly what he might bring out of it. And the book tells how the whole thing eventually brought the entire neighborhood together, and many were able to hear the gospel out of it, as well as to see it at work. And through it all, Hank, while still in prison, he was in for a long time, but he came to submit his life to Christ. Now, this family, all along, they could have given up. They could have decided that the circumstances weren't what they were looking for and not what God was looking for them. But instead, they saw the situation through the lens of a relationship with Christ, through a gospel lens. And they trusted that God was sovereign over their circumstances. And so they continued forward. And when we do that, does God say that every time it's always going to work out that way? And the answer is no. But what he does say is he will be faithful to us, and he will equip us for what we need as we serve him in the context in which he places us. Now, if you remember how I said that in the Navy, the bottom line with your assignment had to do with the needs of the Navy. They owned you, and in essence, that's why you had to serve in a certain capacity. You know, look with me at what Paul says in verse 23. He says, "You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men." He's speaking to people whom he just said remain in this relationship of slavery. But then he says, "Do not become slaves of men, because you were bought with a price. You belong to God. Live the life that you have been assigned by the one to whom you belong. and allow Him to do something in and through you so that you remain where you're planted and where you have been called to, and you're content to live in that situation. He's telling us in this passage to remain where we are, that our calling is to where we are. It doesn't mean that we can't change. There are times when change is needed, but secondly, that our circumstances are unimportant ultimately. Even though they may be important for a time, they're unimportant ultimately. And that God, in His sovereignty, that He will use the circumstances that we're in, and He will use us as His instrument in those circumstances. And through it all, we can look to Him and know that we belong to Him. And out of the joy of what He has done inside of us, the joy of knowing that we belong to the King, the one who has paid the price for us. And so he finishes, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. And those are key words. Let him remain with God. That should be our heart's desire as well, as we serve Him daily in the context in which He has given us. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we thank You that You don't call us to something that is beyond us. We thank You that You will direct us. But we also thank You for these words that we can understand, and they help to center us, that even when we may feel inside that, no, this is not right for us because of the discomfort that's there, because of other things that are working inside of us, that we can look to You and ask the question, is this where You have placed us? Will You provide for us in this place? And we thank You that we can trust in You, that You are faithful in all things. Father, I pray for each of us that You would help us to be discerning, that You would help us to be wise, and that You would use us powerfully in Your kingdom out of what You have done inside of us. Help us, Lord, to recognize Your sovereignty over all things. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.